the steps were so soft they couldn't even walk on them. Three kids tried, and three kids cried. They tried and they tried and they cried and they cried. Then a little girl came by. She had little pigtails. She says, I can get up those steps and it's not going to be hard at all for me. So she pulled up her dress a little bit and started to walk up the stairs. They were so soft, she was starting to slide. Now she was looking nervous. She took the next step, sliding back, took the next step, sliding back. Pretty soon she slipped and fell onto her knees, and from her knees she went to her hips and just started to slide right down on her butt, right down to the ground again. She says, that can't be right. I said, I know how to walk upstairs. So she was about to cry too, but then she caught herself. She said, I can't cry like the boys. I gotta be strong. So she turned around and put her fists on her hips and said, this is it. I'm going up those slippery, slimy, soft steps if it's the last thing I do. And nobody's gonna stop me. So she took the one step to step on the first step, and she slipped and fell right flat on her face. That was it. She broke into tears and ran off out into the wooded area. Well, the boys were laughing. They thought that was so funny. Then one of them said, I'm going to sing a song about it. So he started to sing. Sally was on the steps and she fell down. Da, 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 da. And they sang that all afternoon and laughed and all that kind of stuff. And they had a fun time. Thunderclouds came in. And they stopped their laughing then because it started to rain out. Not real hard, but it did start to rain. And they could feel it hitting their jackets and their hats. One guy looked up and it was starting to fall on his face, and he's starting to wipe his face dry. And as soon as he wiped his face dry, a great big giant raindrop fell on his back. Poof! Just like that. Oh, jeez, he said, what the heck happened there? Well, the raindrops were now getting bigger than like a jug of milk. They were coming down. Never saw raindrops that big before. They were just starting to hit all over the place now. In fact, one came right down, hit a car right in the hood, and put a big dent in the hood. Oh, look at my hood! And they're just falling all over the place, knocking holes into the ground, cracking the sidewalks, tearing branches off trees. So the houses were getting bombarded, their roofs were getting ruined, the shingles were falling off, the chimneys were breaking. Everything was being hit by these giant, giant milk jug size raindrops. Almost like bombs, but they were just water. It's like that, it would just hit. And now what are they going to do? This is the only place. And then they had a break-in on the radio. They said, this is a special weather report. Raindrops as big as milk jugs are falling from the sky. Take cover immediately. Nobody go outside at all. Do not go outside. Remain in your house and in the bottom floor. Do not go into the attic. Because they come right through the ceiling. So this went on for about 2 days. There was water all over the place. All the streets were flooded. The alleyways were flooded. Everything was flooded and everything was destroyed. Any car that was outside was just nothing but dented up pieces of metal. Even the trucks were all dented up. Everything was ruined. And you can, of course, forget about the greenhouses where they grew the flowers. They were smashed to smithereens. And water was everywhere. I hope this never happens again, said the mayor. This is one of the worst catastrophes that I've ever seen. Oh, no, I've seen worse, said the little boy. What do you mean you've seen worse? Yes, I've seen raindrops as big as a car seat in a car. That's ridiculous, son. Sit down. But nobody believed him. So I went on to the next day, and they were just talking about the big weather storm and like that, and his son was just going down. But when it was going down, they noticed the clouds were getting dark. And they were coming in again. Not another rainstorm. We don't need another rainstorm. Oh, boy. But they noticed something up above the clouds. And it was bright. It's getting dark. How could something be bright above the clouds? And then, without warning, no thunder, no nothing, right through the cloud, right through the cloud it came out, a fireball. You could see it falling in the distance. Then they looked up again, through the clouds again. Another fireball was coming through. And it started the tree on fire, started the grass on fire, started all the, everything was getting on fire now. This is a complete opposite. Wait, this is real, this is something to panic about. Another one hit. Just kept on over and over and over. They could see in the distance all the streaks of light coming from the sky, these fireballs hitting the ground. Smoke was filling the air. Things were turning into just total chaos. Screaming people, key people running out of their homes, trying to get into cars, and the big fireballs would hit. Just blow them up. It was the most terrible thing you'd ever see in your whole life. They were wishing for those big, giant, milk jug-sized raindrops, but they weren't coming. Now there was fireballs, and the fireballs were just tearing them apart. It was burning them up. It was destroying them. And finally it settled down, and all the smoke started to blow away. The houses all stopped burning. All that was left was cinders and dark and black and destroyed. Everything was totally ruined. Everything. Except a little brown box. This little brown box was a precious box. And it was owned by Hemi Lukowski. And Hemi was from the small island in the Pacific Ocean. Hemi Lukowski was the only person in the world who knew what was in that box. And it was something that he dared not open unless he had to. But what was it in the box? What was it that made this particular moment to need to open it? What was it that would require this box to be opened? Well, Hemi, he knew that he had to do something. And he could hear people calling, Hemi Lukowski! Hemi Lukowski, open the box! It's time! It's time to open the box! But he wouldn't open it. He just sat there and he stared at it. It was on the table right in front of him, and he pushed it away. Hemi knew that if he opened it, it would be the last thing he ever did. The very last thing. Are you going to play chess? He heard his little son say. His son was only like 10 years old. You want to have a game of chess, Hemi? And Hemi said, no, I've got things to think about now.
Well, you can play chess and you can think.
Well, that's maybe an idea. He says, maybe we will have a game of chess. So he gathered up all his parts and he gathered up everything he needed to have the game of chess, and he laid the board out on the table and set all the players up, and the players were all warm. Why are the players warm? Said Hemi.
Oh, we heated them up.
Well, why did you heat them up?
Well, I don't like to touch things that are cold, said the little boy.
Well, why is that?
Well, it just makes me shaky.
Well, that's a ridiculous reason. Well, in any case, they've started to play the game, and the checkerboard was a round checkerboard. I mean, it was a chessboard. It looked like a checkerboard, but it was round. What? And they played on a round chessboard. Okay. What's that, Harley?
Nothing. Nothing, Dad. Keep going. Your story's good.
Okay.
Perfect.
But the problem is, I'm still awake. Everybody's still awake.
No, I'm going to bed.
Yep, he's sleeping.
I don't know.
A little bit more, Dad.
I can't.
Dad, your story's terrific.
Okay, okay. Well, in any case, what was happening was On the chessboard, there was something different about it, and the players were warm. In fact, they were so warm they were causing the chess blocks on the checkerboard, or the chessboard, to get higher than the others. And some would be low and some would be high, just depending upon where the players were. And as they played them, he noticed that when he put them on a high one, streaks would go through the air, like lightning bolts. And when he put them on the low one, there would be a moisture that he could feel in the air. It was just like humidity, like he could feel like the wetness in the air. Well, this was the most unusual chessboard he's ever seen. He thought, yep, this is it. This is the time to go open my little brown box. Things are just too strange around here. Way too strange. So he walked over to the table where the box was sitting. And he put his head down. And he took one step closer. And he sat in the chair. And he looked at it. He took a deep breath. Said, this is it. This is it, he said. The time has come. He put his elbows on the table and he reached over for the brown box and he pulled it closer to him. All he had to do now was open it up. And just as he started to open it, the phone rang. And he walked over to the phone and he picked it up. Hello?
Yes, this is Bill here. Over here at the sheriff's station, and we got a person we just stopped for speeding, and he said that he wants to talk to you. Hemi, is this you?
Yes, it's me.
Well, we are going to stop over there. He says he got some important message for you.
Well, what is the message?
He won't tell us. He says he'll only talk to you.
Okay, well, bring him on over. Let's see what he has to say, because I was just trying to get the problem solved.
All right, we'll be there in just a couple of minutes.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Okay, so, well, he thought, I better wait to open that box because this fellow who's coming over may have some news that he's not aware of. So it was about 5 minutes or so, he heard the car coming up his driveway, and he saw the lights flashing on his window. The curtains, lights were flashing through the room, and I heard the door slamming in the cars, and hear them started to walk and talk as they started to make their way to the house. So he walked over to the front door and he opened it up for him, and there he was, a young fellow, wavy brown hair, and wearing a cape. He had long pointed shoes.
Come on in, everyone. This is the fella here. He said, I'm going to go now, but this is the guy. His name is Jack, and he wants to talk to you, so I got to go. Bye.
Okay, bye. Well, thanks for bringing him over.
Yeah, you're welcome. Bye.
So he left. Now Jack was left there. And Jack looked at him straight in the eye, and he said, don't do it.
What do you mean?
Don't do it, Hemi.
Don't do what?
You know what I mean. Don't open the box.
Why?
If you open that box, everything is going to stop. Everything. You, me, your little boy, everybody you've ever known will stop. I know what you're saying. I don't think I'm going to open it. I don't think it's time. You'll know when it's time. But the time is not now. The time is not now.
Okay. All right, then. When should I open it?
You'll know. I've got to go. And he backed up to the front door. He just walked backward to the front door. He walked out the front door backward, and as he did, he disappeared into the night. He just walked backward to the door and disappeared into the night. That had to be a special servant or a special somebody to tell me that message. That's the only way that somebody could tell me not to open that box the way he did, the way he disappeared. Then he heard thunder far away, and he saw lightning far away. He walked over to the refrigerator, and he opened it up. The light didn't even come on. Well, the refrigerator, there's no power to the refrigerator. He walked around the back and it was still plugged in. The lights are on. He turned it on, tick, tick, turned it off, tick, turned it on, tick, turned it off, tick. Well, there's nothing wrong. Maybe the light bulb is out. So he took out the old light bulb and put in a new one. Still no light. Well, the circuit must be broken. So he took his screwdriver and started to dismantle the refrigerator. He started to dismantle the refrigerator. It took him 3 hours. It took him 3 hours to take it apart.
Once upon a time, there was a rocket that kept rolling.
Listen to Grandma. She's got a good story going. All of a-